Hello, George Hallford with Jenny Jackson Spurlock. Good friend, old home week. Jenny, look forward to having you here. And Jenny is the working with constituent service for Congressman John Rose.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about what you do. We're not talking politics today.
No.
And also, Jenny worked with me and with our chamber for several years.
Six years.
And what a joy. And I told Jenny offline a while ago, I've been knowing Jenny for years through my wife and J.J. Jack. So we're going to cover all that. But Jenny, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to do, Billy Graham said, among others, three great questions in life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Let's start at birth,
okay.
Jenny.
Okay.
And let's just go through childhood and school and your formative years and anything. Just talk about growing up in this region, your parents, anything you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, my mother and father were originally from Putnam County, but my father moved the family to Dayton, Tennessee for a job. And so I was born in Ray County, Tennessee.
What? So didn't know that.
Born in Ray County, Tennessee, yes. I have since found out that Van Hillary, who was an eight-time congressman, was also born in the same hospital in Ray County. But I think he has a big bronze plaque. I don't. But anyway, so born in Ray County Hospital. Several years after that, my parents moved back to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Okay.
My father was in the insurance business, and my mother was epitome of a wonderful homemaker. And so we moved back to Cookeville. I went 1 year to Parkview School, then I went to Capshaw School, then high school, of course, and then some at Tech. And basically, the first 18 years of my life, I had a Beaver Cleaver childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I had the most wonderful home environment. My mother and father, we went to church every time the doors were open. My
yep.
mother had a huge
church
meal.
Christ,
Church of Christ, Jefferson Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
My mother had a huge, wonderful meal on the table every night. And seriously, Beaver Cleaver, we sat down, we talked about our day, we had dinner, we
yeah.
Shared things with each other. Always had a great sense of secure feeling because of my home life. My brother Jeff and I were 4 years apart. Of course, we act like we couldn't stand each other, till we got older. But Jeff was a good guy, and it's only one brother. But anyway, just my childhood years and teenage years couldn't have been.
Well, you had a Waltons type childhood,
yes.
And we were talking about that in someone else. We've lost that as a society. My experience is very similar in mm-hmm. terms of family and sitting around the, quote, supper table.
Yes.
And talking about the events of the day.
Yes.
Okay, so in high school, you went through and then you went to Tech. And
high school, yeah. I played tennis in high school.
Okay.
That was wonderful. So I was on the tennis team. From high school on to Tech, and I was majoring in accounting. And I was there for a couple of years and then decided that I would rather go to work
yeah.
than go to school. And so,
I understand.
So I took a job. I was hired at the Upper Cumberland Human Resource Agency in the bookkeeping department.
Yeah.
And I worked in the bookkeeping department for about 3 years, and then I was promoted to the director of finance.
Wow, I had forgotten that.
Yeah, I was director of finance and administration at the Human Resource Agency for 13 years, about a $20 million budget at that time. I had a staff of 10 wonderful ladies that worked for me. And interestingly enough, I now, in the position I hold, get to go to UCHRA and UCDD board meetings. And there are still three lovely ladies there.
That's
that
wonderful.
I hired 30-some years ago.
That's wonderful.
And so it's kind of all coming back around. But anyway, my time with the Upper Cumberland Human Resource Agency was great. Left there And did a very short stint at the Putnam County Sheriff's Department for Sheriff Abston.
Okay.
Jerry Abston.
Jerry Abston.
One of my best friends.
Loved Jerry Abston.
Loved Jerry.
Yeah. He was so good to me. My granddaddy, Jay Birdwell, went to him and said, my granddaughter needs a job. He hired me immediately. And I was there for 5 months in bookkeeping department and working alongside, you know, the officers and everything. Great experience. They were all so respectful and kind. And then 5 months in, someone moved into town that was starting an online insurance company. He needed an executive assistant. It was just he and I. He hired me to be the executive assistant. I worked for him for about 6 months. And my mother came to my office. Janice Jackson came to my office one day and said, "Do you want to open a gift shop?" And I was just stunned. We'd talked about it forever. We'd love to. My mother and I were best friends.
And
we talked forever about having a gift shop, but never really thought anything would materialize. She had gone to work part-time for Chuck Johnson's nursery and was a great floral designer, and she loved that. But she and I, neither one of us, had any idea about business, opening a store. I mean, it was like the blind leading the blind. But anyway, she said, "Do you want to start a store? I've bought a building."
Great. That's a great
And
story.
At that time, I took a huge pay cut, and we opened J.J. Jack's in 1995. And Mother and I, like I said, we called ourselves Dumb and Dumber. We didn't know what we were doing, but by golly, we did it. We loved it. We worked beside together every day, had so much fun. And in 1999, 4 years in, my mother got a rare pneumonia and passed away fairly suddenly. So, I was heartbroken, but the store kept me going.
Certainly.
Just her memory, our fun times there. And so I had it for another 16 years on my own, and it was the most wonderful experience. The people I met, we were more like counselors than we were. We called ourselves more than a gift shop because people would come in just to get counseling, you know. I mean, they just wouldn't come in and talk about their husband or their, you know, whatever. So, and we'd say, well, you know, if your husband's not being nice, you need to buy yourself something. But anyway, had the best time. And that shop, that little store over 20 years, I was able to travel extensively with that business. Hong Kong twice, Taiwan.
Wow.
Went to Kenya and dug water wells. We raised $15,000 with the help of the Putnam County community and got to go to Kenya and see wells dug. And so it was more than a gift shop. It was about service. And we, I'm very proud of everything we did there. So from
I'm interrupting
That's okay.
you, but I share with you offline, off air. I've known you much longer than when you came with the chamber because my wife
yes.
would come in talking about Jenny at J.J. Jack's. So you became your store and your outreach became a huge part of our retail community
Thank
for
you.
A specialty high-end and middle high-end shop.
Yes.
Is that?
That's
but,
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah,
it was a special place. And then I was turning 55, and it dawned on me that you're single, you have no insurance. I mean, you know, you're paying for your own insurance. You have no retirement, and you can't keep doing this. You can't continue to be self-employed. You're
sure.
going to have to do something else, which was terrifying to me.
Right.
And I prayed about it, and I kept praying for a sign. Just give me a sign that this is what I need to do. And I don't know if everybody remembers my little BMW Patience, my little bug that was wrapped, psychedelic. She was at Midas because she needed some repairs, and it just so happened that my sweetheart at the time, Ken Stanford, owned Midas. And he called me one day during all this time I'm trying to figure out what to do, and he said, I could hear sirens in the background. And he said, "Jenny, I am so sorry to tell you this, but I went out to start your bug because it was cold and snowing." And he said, "Your engine has caught on fire and it's
blew up."
And he thought I was just going to melt down.
It's not funny, but
I started kind of giggling, and he said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "I have been looking for a sign. This is a billboard. God is telling me it's time."
Yep.
And so with that, I closed my store at the end of March. It's been 8 years now. And started looking for a job. Heard through a friend of a friend that Diane Callahan was wanting to hire somebody at the Chamber of Commerce for the front desk position.
I'm not sure I knew that, but how that started. Okay.
And so I was like, oh, my goodness. So I called Diane. I interviewed and was hired for the front desk position, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And so did that for about a year and a half. Left the chamber for 2 days one time.
2 days, I remember that.
So I couldn't see any way to move up at the chamber, so someone gave me a really nice opportunity. So I left for 2 days, and during that 2 days, an opportunity came up at the chamber, and Mr. George Hofford called me back, and he offered me a job working for him. And so I went back.
I had forgotten that story, Jenny. That is wonderful. So you've been a successful entrepreneur, small business, have worked in major companies. You're having a wonderful career.
Thank you.
We're going to get back in our next segment, and we're going to pick up there and talk about today and what you're doing today, and anything else you want to talk about during that period of time. But you're a joy to work with. I will tell you, we've had a team, and I miss our people.
Yes.
I miss the people every day, and retirement's good to a point, but I really miss the people. And you have transitioned now into another very important service oriented profession.
Yes,
to help people.
Yes,
just as you've done. Your whole life. George Hofford with Jenny Spurlock, and we will continue very soon.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We're back. George Hofford with Jenny Spurlock, going down memory lane, Jenny.
Yes.
Jenny at the chamber and your world, and let's just pick up where we left off before the break and talk more about the chamber and leadership, and we ain't even talked about that yet.
Wow. It was a pleasure working with you, George. It was a pleasure working with everyone there, and I think you mentioned earlier we had a true team there.
Didn't
that
we?
Cared about each
blessed,
other.
Blessed, very fortunate.
And the environment was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for that, because you were what made that happen for us. And you always made us feel important. I'll never forget every morning you'd go around, at least stick your head in, say, how are you this morning? How are you doing? How are you doing? We knew that you found us important. You appreciated
us. Well, what a joy.
It was a wonderful. That was a wonderful time. And also the other thing I got to enjoy, which has been one of the biggest blessings for me in my life, was I had the opportunity to lead the Leadership Putnam program for 4 years. And that was such a great experience, because every year I got to meet talented individuals that I'd never known, that brought so much to the community. Also, living in Cookeville pretty much my entire life, being in the program myself, I learned about things I never knew existed.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So that was such a wonderful thing to get to do, and I'm so proud of the projects that we did and some of the things.
Let's go back for our audience that may not know, and what is Leadership Putnam, and some history, and there are some major things that have happened in our community that is the result of a leadership Putnam class that did a project that made a difference. So let's spend a little more time on on leadership, on what it is. And
Leadership Putnam is it's actually a 9-month program. Every single month there's a different program day. Mm-hmm. So it's everything from healthcare to agriculture to education. And so the director will plan out a program day for each of those months and delve into that area of the community. There's city county government day. There's there's so many different things that you learn about in the program. You do have to be typically, I think especially now, there's a waiting list for the program. If you have never done Leadership Putnam, I would get on that list. It's worth every minute you'll spend with
it. What do you have, 30 or so members each
chosen? I don't know what they're doing now. We had a maximum class of 21.
Okay,
So and you, these people create lasting lifetime friendships because we did an overnight retreat where we went off somewhere and we did all these crazy games and silly stuff and got to know each other, and it just bonded everyone immediately. So the program itself is just so many different things. It's about people, it's about learning, it's about the community, and the projects that George mentioned. A lot of people don't know that Power of Putnam was originally
a leadership Putnam class project.
Yes, that grew into that. I think, you know, the last year that I had the program, that class went on to, with the help of the community, to have that beautiful Brad Sells tree placed in Dogwood Park in memory of the tornado victims. One of the class projects that my class had, you probably wouldn't even know, but if you ever go on the rail trail, if you ever walk the trail, there are recyclable trash containers that were a Leadership Putnam class project. And there's so many, I can't even remember now everything that...
If I could throw one in from a long time ago, I think Melinda Kiefer, Main Street.
Yes, Main Street.
Our Main Street. So, you know, this is a program that has... earned the opportunity to offer input to the governments, mm-hmm. to anybody, mm-hmm. and it's a class, and they're studying their community.
Right, exactly. So that was one of the biggest joys of my life. That was so when I wasn't looking to leave the chamber, George had already left me. And left us. I wasn't looking to leave the chamber, but a friend called and told me they wanted me to apply for a job, and that's the current position that I'm in. And I said, I'm not looking for a job. And they said, I want you to apply for this job. So I did apply, turned it down initially, and then I did end up taking the job. But one of the things that was the hardest thing for me to give up leaving the chamber was the Leadership Putnam program.
Did a great job with that. And again, people can apply each year.
Yes.
Through the chamber. Please contact the chamber for details.
Miss Angie, I think at the Chamber of Commerce right now is leading the program. She's awesome. But yeah, if you haven't gone through, get on the list.
And again, we talk about this. People think they know their community until just like the chamber. When you work for the chamber, you learn so much. This Leadership Putnam class is dynamite. It's just excellent for learning, mm-hmm. and we're grooming future leaders, giving them opportunities in all walks of life.
It also gives you – it's a nice thing to have on your resume. People respect the program.
They do.
So it's a nice thing to have on your resume as well. But the thing that most surprised me, and I love – Tom Jones and Lee Jones that have research electronics here in Cookeville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that we had like a James Bond kind of thing here. You know, like they
we
make,
do.
You know, like they make, you know, like spy stuff. And so
state of the art.
Yes, that they have all over the world. And so that's just a tiny example, but still, you'll find out things you never knew existed here.
You know what you said, that just one example. I think Tom says there, I think this is right, that is it, I forgot, 15 or 20 people a week from all over the world come in to train.
Yes.
And we would be surprised who is coming here to learn
yes.
This technology
yes.
In the world. So you talk about high tech.
Right.
This is about as high tech as it comes. And it's just as you go around the community for the last umpteen years, whatever. The people in leadership positions that originally went through Leadership Putnam.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think it started in the 90s here, early
yes.
90s,
mm-hmm.
and has really made a difference. And you have made a difference.
Thank
and
you.
What we're going to do is come back and talk about you're making a difference today. And in the future, in your role, and I'm interested in hearing some of the examples of case histories of how you've been able to serve the constituents, the public, mm-hmm. In your capacity, and actually what you do every day. So it's my wife with tobacco. I'm jumping back. They miss JJ Jack.
Thank you. I miss seeing all my good customers. Yes.
But you were more than a quality retail store. You were, you served a lot of needs in our community and a lot of things. And I miss you guys. This is personal, and I know it's not supposed to be about me, but we just had the greatest group of people and volunteers and staff who truly care
yes.
about our community
yes.
and what a joy to serve.
Yes.
And I miss everybody. This isn't about me, but
we miss you too.
And but we move on.
That's right.
It's really exciting to see all the things that are happening
mm-hmm.
that we played a role in.
Sure.
And but we're gonna leave here in just a few seconds, take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about the next chapter, this chapter in your life, and anything from the previous things we've talked about. I'm George Hofford with Jenny Spurlock, Local Matters, and we'll be back soon. Welcome back. George Hofford with Jenny Spurlock, native, long time, former chamber staffer, and now doing some very important things for our community and in the area of constituent public service for Congressman John Rose.
Yes,
and I want to the philosopher William James once said, "A difference which is no difference is no difference at all." And you make a difference. And this is not the politics of our congressman. This
right.
is about what you do and what your office does every day to help people.
Yes.
So let's start there maybe with you've been with Congressman Rose and his office and just what your mission is, what your role is, any special things that you want to talk to us about, things that y'all have done.
Okay. Well, it has been my great pleasure to get to work in the Congressman's office as constituent services, as a caseworker.
Mm-hmm.
I really did not know what that was about at all. All I knew when I interviewed was that I had made the statement that I really didn't like politics and I might not be the girl for
this
the job.
Everything is politics, yes. but this isn't politics.
But I was so... so pleased with the response that I got, and that was, that's probably good because this is just about serving the people
serving
of the 6th
others.
District.
Mm-hmm.
It's about service. It's about how we can help every constituent, any constituent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me feel really good because I do love people. I do love, it's very wonderful to be able to help somebody out of a situation and maybe change their life. And so with my current job, I've been there 3 years this month. I will say when I first started about 3 weeks in, I thought, oh, my goodness, tremendous learning curve.
Certainly.
Because we help constituents with any issues they have with any federal agency. So, just a little list of federal agencies. We've got the Department of State, Consumer Financial Protection Agency, Medicare, Medicaid, Immigration, Veterans, Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Department of Labor, FBI, Health and Human Services, IRS, Office of Personnel Management, U.S. Postal Service, USDA. That's part of the list. So at any given time, just me personally, I'll average around 150 cases that I'm working at all times.
And
150 cases. Uh-huh. And then we have a Gallatin office as well. And Ms. Kim in the Gallatin office will also have a lot of cases. So at any given time, our office is juggling about 300 and some cases. And like I said, it's all these different agencies. We do a whole lot of immigration cases. We do a lot of Internal Revenue Service cases. If you have trouble with your refund, if the IRS has lost your return, we're the people to call. So just every federal agency. So the diversity of the inquiries that we get and that we make are just amazing. So the learning curve was huge. I'm still learning.
Certainly.
Still learning. There's so much to know about a lot of these different agencies. But the bottom line is every day or pretty much every day I'll open several cases. People will call. They're in tears. They are, you know, they've got life emergencies.
Sure.
And they need help with it might be their income tax return. It might be that they have a large refund coming and it's not come. And whatever it is, we get their information and we do our very best to resolve that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pretty good success rate of solving those things for individuals. Mm-hmm. And so I guess one of my favorite, I guess that I'm most proud of and most that's been the most heartwarming for me was I met a lovely couple who had been trying to get her green card for 4 years.
Mm.
And they are delightful and just fell in love with them. And they have spent thousands and thousands of dollars, denied, and could not get this taken care of. And through our office and our efforts, when we finally got a hold of it and were able to make some inquiries, she got her green card within like 70 days. And when she came to the office with it, we all cried.
Because
it has changed her life. It is forever changed. And it's forever changed her husband's life because he's worried so about her. He's somewhat older than her and they have daughters. And he was so afraid something would happen to him and she would not be okay. So those kinds of things, those feel-good things, they're the things that keep you going when people are calling and yelling at you about other things. So.
But these are real people.
Yes.
With real issues.
Yes.
And you're there as a servant to help. And I bet you we could spend the rest of the afternoon telling stories of people and mm-hmm. cutting through red tape, bureaucracy.
Yes.
A lot of times,
yes.
I would imagine.
Yes.
You want to give a phone number or an email? If some constituent out mm-hmm. there has a need
yes.
for help, just phone number. That's mm-hmm. Your email.
Yeah.
Your
I'd be happy to give my email address. And you know, anybody listening that's having any problems with any of these agencies and you are in our district, please do call because that is what we're there for. My email is my first name, Jenny, JENNY.Spurlock, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, URLOCK @mail.house.gov. And but you can look up the congressman's number if you don't get that email. But yes, call us. We are there to help you.
And it's very you personally every day. This is what you do.
This is what we do.
And we do veterans affairs. You know,
yes.
You might want to comment on.
We do, and we currently have a veterans affairs specialist. It's Ms. Yvonne Pickering. She also came to us from the chamber. Yes, and Yvonne is she's a Gold Star family member. And if you don't know what that is, it's a family member who has lost a loved one in service.
She was only a few years old when she lost her dad.
Very young when her father, he was on a special operation and was flying a bunch of children out of an area, and the airplane he was flying was bombed, and so he did lose his life along with a lot of other people at that time.
Mm.
But Then she went on to marry a military guy who was a special ops.
Special ops at Fort Campbell, yeah.
And then she worked for quite some time with 5th Group in Clarksville, Tennessee. And so her background is perfect for Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, she was the military affairs with the Clarksville Chamber, which primarily is the focus of the 101st, 160th, and Fort Campbell. Yes.
Well, she just speaks the language naturally, normally, because she's lived it. And so when veterans call Yvonne and talk to them about, she knows immediately where they're going,
where to go, what to do.
Yes, and she's had some great success taking care of those people as well. And so we really appreciate what Yvonne does with the veterans, because, again, learning curve. You know, you can learn anything, but to be able to really have lived that life and be able to put yourself where those people are makes a huge difference.
Well, there's a psychologist says only the wounded physician can heal.
Mm-hmm.
And Yvonne has been she fits that bill to be able to help others because she's one of them.
That's right. That's exactly right. She has great compassion for the veterans. So,
you know, I'm not sure how, I'm not talking politics, but your office has certainly changed. Everything has changed. Talking about with the times that we live in,
mm-hmm.
are you seeing anything? You got people with needs. Is that primarily still it?
Yes. It's been amazing to me how many people are in situations that they didn't necessarily put themselves in but can't get themselves out of,
mm-hmm.
and that need intervention. And so that's what we do.
And a lot of it's communication, and a lot of it's probably just not being aware of services and things that mm-hmm. they're available.
Well, that and then perseverance, because, with the federal agencies or with anybody you're working with, you just have to persevere. And sometimes, you know, it takes a long time to get something worked out, but not giving up on it. Just, you know, keep on going.
You know, there's a joke, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Mm-hmm.
But let's spend the last couple of minutes just talking about you and the future and where you see yourself. And you're obviously a servant and doing a great job. Anything jump out at you or where you see things going in the community, where Cookeville is going, Upper Cumberland, anything?
Well, you know, of course, I love Cookeville. It's dear to my heart, always will be. But I hope to continue to be doing what I'm doing. And I always laugh and tell people that my retirement will be at Hooper and Huddleston Funeral Home. But it's as long as I'm healthy and have the mental capacity to do so, I plan to work. And I'd love to keep doing what I'm doing. I have found a niche. Well, yes, and that it's where I would like to be able to stay and continue to work and help as many people as I can while I'm there.
Well, I can't think of a better person, and Yvonne, for what the two of you are doing, and others, mm-hmm. but serving and what a joy you are to do what you're doing. And we've got just a little few seconds left. Anything else you want to share or talk?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I admire your White Plains golf course shirt.
oh, that's right. We didn't even mention that.
And so that, you know, was very dear to my heart as well. Of course, my brother and my father built White Plains Golf Course, Jeff and Harold Jackson, and they are both no longer with us. Jeff, of course, passed away very young at 37, but that golf course is still very special.
You know, the Bible talks about the fullness of time, and in the fullness of time, White Plains Golf Club is really blossoming.
Yes.
George Hofford with Jenny Spurlock, Local Matters.